Let me give you a little history. What's going on here, that this thing we call Acts in Motion? What is Acts in Motion? 12 years ago, it was actually a prophetic word in the middle of probably a real ugly season, totally in the flesh, totally unqualified in my own mind. And the Lord says, I want to make you an expression of the new early church, Acts in Motion. He said, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm trying to put a fresh breath of what my pattern is. His pattern will and always will be family and relationship driven, not slick programs and cool hairdos.
Come on.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Amen, brother.
So, in the middle of my broken place, still kind of there, I think I'm always broken. It's probably a good thing, because you realize how much we need the Lord. Because, guys, I'm not too slick. it's like let me digress for a minute. But what comes to my spirit is the Lord has convinced me that successful Christianity is ones who realize their desperate need for Christ. Amen. Colossians 3, when Christ, who is my life, shall be revealed, we shall be revealed with him. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So that if you want to be successful, understand your desperation for Christ. The word says, he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. So I'm very aware of my own weaknesses. I'm very aware of my need for the body. And that's why if I'm going to major in anything, I want to major in loving you guys. I really do. Because we have nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing. So that's why we have to have a surrogate system with light shows and cool multimedia going on to try to wow people, because we're in such spiritual lethargy. There's no more discernment. Because the authentic is really not there in a lot of the experiences that we've had. Is that not true, guys?
Yep.
So maybe just be honest with God. And that's the beginning of everything. I'm just kind of going for my spirit. Is that all right, guys? I'm just kind of sharing a little bit of history. Let's stop playing a con on God. Dressing up our religion, trying to find approval. Can we settle it for the record? Father already approves of you. Can we settle? Can we settle that? Because he doesn't see us, he sees his Son.
Amen.
While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all free, folks. Hallelujah. I tell you, I get the rattling, guys. I'm pretty fired up right now. As I was just kind of chewing on some music, I'm like, Lord, what do you want to bring? These precious ones, the saints of God. What do you want to do to edify and to build them up? Because that's what it's all about. The fourth chapter of Ephesians, about an equipping sort of ministry. What are we doing to build up the saints and not just go ahead and build my empire? The check me out ministries and, you know, pumping on my pompadour. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And it's the word I heard this morning. Going back to love. Love revolution. And Galatians, I believe it's 6:2, came to me this morning. He said, bear ye one another's burdens, thus fulfilling the law of Christ. We just go ahead and pack up and go home now. It's like there's so much wrapped up in that little verse.
Amen.
It's love in action, guys. It's not about what is convenient for me, what's convenient for you. What are we doing to really impact one another, to really love when it hurts? Because it is not convenient living on this farm, guys. I'm challenged every single day. Being around people are so... I mean, they're on the opposite spectrum of where I live. And to have love compel and to prevail, then I'm not just trying to get my... I'm telling you, it's rough. I'm constantly being buffeted and constantly being checked by the Lord about what really matters. Is it just about being right, Jeff? Let's get honest here, huh? About my agenda. If I was walking in my agenda, we'd be a little bit different than we're... It'd be a different situation, guaranteed. It'd be different. I would not be up over here in a farm in the corner of South Carolina. This was not on the the 5-year plan. You guys feeling where I'm coming from? You know, I should give me a little bit of background.
I feel
so, you. So Holy Spirit. But there's something so authentic, something so rich in that raw, real, in the mess of things and how you recover from a mess. When the world is being dumped on you and people reject you and situations and circumstances aren't going the way you desire for it to go, and you're just in this vulnerable place before Papa and saying, God, I can't fix this. I'm going to go out of my mind. And you're all up in the flesh. And you're feeling so disqualified and the enemy's spewing shame on you and defecating on you. And in that place are some of the most radical encounters I've ever had with God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Who qualifies us, saints?
He does.
Can we get it 7 for the record, please?
He alone. Because he's qualified.
Purpose. I call this little discussion from, I want to open it up as well. I'm going to try my very best to get about 4 hours of information into about 20 minutes. Is that all right? I'm going to do my very best, guys. God's been revealing blueprint stuff to me. Purpose. Here's the burning desire that I have for you and whatever I do to serve this. To be conditioned, prepared, and activated both spiritually and naturally for the literal government function of Yeshua, the King, who reigns in and through surrendered saints. Remember, take a hold of these words, guys. The biggest sabotage we have from experiencing Him shining through is there's just not a surrender. We have to try to go make it happen. Let's not go there. He's looking for someone who says, yes! And He does miracles. He will do miracles. Thus, escaping the snares of seductions and corruption and control by the spirit of this age that is now influencing the political, social, and religious systems of men.
Say that again.
Okay, what is the purpose? Why is Jeff traveling 3,000 miles and having heartburn for 7 years dealing with a bunch of religion around me? Why am I still going after it? So that we all can be conditioned, prepared, and activated both spiritually and naturally for the literal governmental function of Yeshua as King, who reigns in and through surrendered saints. Now, in that place, that higher reality, we escape the snares of seduction, corruption, and control by the spirit of this age that is now, it's not, oh, it might happen someday. Brothers and sisters, we're in the middle of some junk. And we are the only solution, the only answer this world will ever have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm preaching now.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
I'm preaching. Because brother, I don't see Christ maximized in you. I'm robbed. So I don't want to compete with the gift of God. I want to edify, build up, and unlock. Because not only are you blessed, we're all blessed.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on! Let's build each other up, guys. For there is a war on.
Amen.
Let's know who the real enemy is. And it's not your brother and your sister.
Come on now.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Let's stop propagating the problem. Become part of the solution.
Amen. Amen.
Love ye one another. What's that look like, brother? Well, I thought I was just kind of kumbaya on Sunday. I'd go home and fight my wife. Better be more than that. That's good preaching. Because I have a deep, deep burden. And I get excited, guys. This is maybe some of you have not seen me in this animation. But this really burns in me.
I think everybody has.
You got it? We all good? With much knowledge is much pain and burden. I spent many years analyzing systems that bring snares and bondage to people. It about buried me, folks. I got so immersed of all the crap going on in religion and politics, it about buried me. Just for the sake of sanity and life, I had to literally back my Bible bus up and pop it and park.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yes.
That's good.
Oh, I love
but
it.
But the core that drove me to the place, I was just trying to find my way, guys. Because I can't stand lies and deception. I loathe them.
Yeah.
And I'm pursuing what is light? What's real? What's authentic? We're in the middle of a surrogate, I call it an antichrist political and religious system. Let's be straight. It really is.
Yeah.
We have an enemy, and he is crafty, he is subtle. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you're the answer.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen? So that core still burned in me, but the Lord was after. That's why we came to Carolina. So it was 7 years, guys. I thought we came here to start our ministry. There's going to be some burning ones, Lord. They're going to go ahead and yoke up with us. We're going to go ahead and take back our nation. He said, well, son, I sent you here to take you to the woodshed.
Ouch.
I thought I was already conditioned.
Because
We went through some pain. When you lose everything, reputation, houses, cars, money, in this pursuit of righteousness, and you see things going differently than how they went. I thought the David and Goliath thing kind of went the other way.
Yeah.
So I had my stones going on here. But I felt like my lunch was eaten. And in the middle of all that brokenness, the Lord had to so get a hold of my heart, because zeal untempered can just bring a mess to humanity. And anybody follow me?
It's true, brother.
I'm just sharing my heart, guys. I'm trying my best. And so the last 7 years has been him after me. And I think something's kind of really happening with me. You could ask my wife. I think something might be really happening. I might actually be getting a little more transformation. Christ might be shining a little more. So me being led by truth and bludgeoning people, everyone around me with my rightness, and in my rightness being wrong because it's not in the spirit of love. He has to get a hold of us. Because there is wickedness that really wounds us and hurts us. And it's so easy to become callous and hardened. But it's the truth, brother. No life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The letter kills. Spirit brings life. And so you may be in a woodshed experience right now. Don't lose heart. Allow Father, in your honesty, to squeeze every drop of Yeshua out of you, because his mission statement is very clear. He said, I want to see my son formed in my people. Whatever it takes. Because if the son's not being formed in us, even in dark, broken places, he never wastes anything. I'm telling you the truth, guys, but let's not play a con on God and just pretend. Let's allow every bit of wounding, every area of pain, to squeeze every drop of Yeshua out of us, because the world needs real. They need real. So that's why I put on here, it's a conditioning. Am I getting too heavy on anybody? I haven't even started my stuff yet. So I'm going to try to change gears here, but I'm going to let me read this real quickly again. Purpose, to be conditioned, prepared, and activated both spiritually and naturally for the literal governmental function of Yeshua as King, Jesus as King, who reigns in and through surrendered saints. Thus, in that place, escaping the snares of seductions, corruption, and control by the spirit of this age that is now influencing political, social, and religious systems of men. We all know it. It's kind of a cute little verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What in the world does that mean in 2015? Because I'm seeing all kinds of seeking. But in a lot of our seeking, we're throwing Christ on like a cheap suit. Oh, Lord, I'm going to take that one off. Brothers and sisters, he is not a cheap suit. Not a patch on the arm. Not just something to put on a resume. Pure Christianity is Christ is our life. And until we get a hold of that real encounter, transformation, what born again really is, we might be in a surrogate system that has the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Perhaps we've been chasing shadows and forgot about substance. It's a thought, no judgment, but may we all be real before God and examine our heart before the end of this day. Amen? So that's what seeking first the kingdom is. He is the priority of our lives, guys. Everything. See, he wants to be the Lord of your marriage. Lord, that's a political term that would have gotten you killed in the first century church. It was saying, Caesar is not my Caesar. Yeshua HaMashiach is my Caesar. Uh-oh. What about rendering to Caesar what is Caesar? Brother, when the Lord, well, brother, Romans 13. Well, who is the highest power?
I'm going to
throw something.
How about rendering unto God?
I'm going to throw something. Can we, please, brothers and sisters, let's stop using straw man arguments of our cowardice. And to say, God, I'm not going to pop a fraud on you here. Please give me still in my spine. Because we're in a war, brothers and sisters. So seeking first the kingdom of God is that he is the priority of our life. He is the first thing. He is our breath in our lungs. He's the blood that beats through our veins. He is the one who's preeminent in our relationships, preeminent in our finances, preeminent in our social activity, in our entertainment, and our medical. Can somebody say Jesus is King?
Jesus is King.
From the very beginning, Exodus 19:6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know what the real deal is, guys? From the very beginning, Father had a design. And His design was never for us to mix into mesh and just kind of be part of the cultures of men. It's 1 Samuel 8, when a nation are supposed to be gods, rejected Him. It's fidelity. It's like, you are mine and I am yours. I don't want to be a man among men and women that just reject Yahweh. Because you're trying to find fellowship, but it's in the middle of a situation that you got to go to the brothel to get some fellowship.
Yeah. Wow. Amen. That's good. That's good.
He's always called us to be a kingdom of priests unto Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He knows what we have need of. All these things will be added to us. Everything we need. The substance of life. He's more than able to help us. And so I want to be part of the solution, not just keep propagating the problem. Amen? Anybody feel a witness on that?
Yes.
And so what I want to challenge every single one of us to do in this thing we call revolution of love, because this is revolutionary. What I'm talking about is revolutionary. It's the people that are not for sale. And here's the deal. It may cost you everything. But it's those things that condition us to get a hold of what is authentic. And I will not trade a bunch of plastic junk for what is real. If I'm deeply wounded and I have what is real, I'm telling you, I'm going there. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. And it's straight, like dire straits. It's hard. But broad is the way, and broad is the gate that leads to destruction. And many thereof walk therein. I don't want to be that guy that's just kind of, well, it's kind of easier to walk this way. Yeah, the walk of death. Let me do it with a smile on my face. I don't want to be the angry preacher. Look, I got my smile. So why am I even going here? This stuff has ravished my heart, guys, for over a decade. And I really haven't had an opportunity to really go here with a lot of you. But these are the burnings. You want to know what makes me tick? This is the burnings of my heart. My burnings of my heart is I want to see a sanctified bride. I want to see a kingdom of priests in reality. Not like, well, I'm kind of gazing out here like the stargazers. Well, maybe someday, you know, Armageddon out of here, and so I'll just go ahead and everything go to hell in a handbasket. And whatever happened to your salt and light and city on a hill that cannot be hidden? Whatever happened about being influential and bringing flavor and preservation to society? Whatever happened to it, folks? Do we in this room want to be counted for what is the solution, not to be part of the problem?
Yeah.
What about you, Melina? Amen! Amen, preacher! I had to do that. The amen. Don't make me amen myself. I'm one of the boisterous guys. I love feedback. I got delivered from the Baptist Convention a long time ago. So. Did I say that? So anyhow, so right from Exodus, when they left the house of bondage, they were governed. By tyrants. And they were slaves. It was very fresh in their minds. And even in the middle of all that, they still complained. But there was a precedent set about what it is of Father pulling out a people that were for Him. They're Yahweh's. And then Peter, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9 says this. Ye also are living stones. Are built up a spiritual house. a holy priesthood, that's you, Nancy, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh by Yeshua HaMashiach. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, that word peculiar people means a special people.
Amen. Come on.
Why? That you show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed, guys. We're just in 2015. We think it's all right to go ahead and mesh and mingle with the spirit of this age and fornicate with it. And that's just modern Christianity, brother. It's the American dream. We're all good. Mm-hmm. Pursue all my idolatry. It's all good. Well, we're doing it on the soil of America, so it's good. It's never good. If He is not the hub of our life, if He's not the preeminent one of our life, then we simply be honest with Him. Amen? This is not a condemnation. We be honest with Him. Fear is not our Lord. Pornography is not our Lord. Abuse is not our Lord. Rage is not our Lord. Obama is not our Lord. The school board is not our Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, is the only Lord forever. Yes and amen.
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 And that has huge ramifications. And so I happen to be an individual among individuals that really believe that. Amen?
Amen, brother.
I'm not going to go into this stuff, but if you want to know, I started this whole thing about revolution of love. This stuff's been revolutionizing my heart. It needs to start from the inside out. Otherwise, honestly, it's in vain. We can go ahead and be super patriot. We can be super pastor. We can build our mega churches and all of our empires. And forgets the internal. Man looks in the outward appearance. God examines the heart.
That's right.
So what really matters to Papa, you could be a train wreck and he could smile at you. The world could call you a failure. And Dad embraces you. Isn't that awesome?
Thank God.
Talk about hope. Talk about hope. So Acts 4 is a really, really good passage on your own time. Please read that. And so my prayer for us is, Father, as a priesthood, sacred servants, may we receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Messiah, who teaches us how to overcome this Laodicean age to advance the kingdom at hand. Literally. Everybody agree with that?
Amen, brother.
So I want to bring some practical stuff here about, before I go, any questions, any comments? I'm getting kind of preachy. Thank you for the grace, because I have a lot of back pressure, guys. And sometimes I just kind of get explosive. So any questions? And I'll just go ahead and hold my peace for a minute. Let's chew on this. What's going on? What's the core of what you guys been hearing? What's the theme? What's going on? I want to hear from the saints. What is it? I want to hear your heart.
I was kind of thinking of that dream I had. I had this dream. It was actually on a round table, and it was in a church service, and I was doing flags and stuff, and I looked around and I was going, this is a pagan temple. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be dancing in a pagan temple. Mm-hmm. And so I remember saying something out loud, that this is a pagan temple, this is not God's temple. And everybody, it was almost like demonically went, looked at me, demon eyes. They were going to kill me.
All the church folk?
Yeah, and I had to run out the door before they killed me. There's so many pagan practices going on that it's just, and it's, oh no, see, we take everything and use it for God. Well, no, that was never the way God did things
in the first place. Amen.
So you're taking pagan practices and trying to say that now it's God. And it's just, there's so much compromise, so much mixture, and people just don't know, you know? And and tried to say it's sanctified. It's just, it's never been sanctified. Mm-mm. It was never from him in the first place, so why would it ever be sanctified?
That's right.
That's good. That is good.
Scripture declares that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I firmly believe if we take our mess to Him in humility and just admit it, honesty, He pours out so much grace on us. It's not grace to stay in our mess. It's grace to overcome. He realized 7 times in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, he talked about to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. I love what he talked about in the Laodicean church. To him who overcomes, it's granted to him to sit in my throne. Talking kingdom. Operating by a different government.
Yeah.
A different frequency.
But
there's overcoming, guys. But the beginning of overcoming is admitting that we're in Laodicea. And we've had a lot of Laodicean habits. This comes to my heart, so I'm just going to go there. You guys are all blessed today, man. You're getting the whole deal. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about the mark of the beast. Uh-oh. What are you talking about, brother? We think the mark of the beast is some technology and some chip going to be injected into us or something. Yeah, there's technology, all right. This came to me. It's on your forehead, on your right hand. 13th chapter of Revelation talks about in other places. This is what I believe symbolically. How are we thinking it's beast-like? And right hand representing strength. And what do we put in our hand to the beast like? If we don't deal with it then, we'll never have stamina, strength, and endurance and courage to resist the technology. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all free, guys. It's a freebie for you. So may we encourage each other to have our minds renewed, that we have the mind of Christ instead of being sucked into this vortex of lies and we think it's religion. Well, this is my religious practice, brother. Well, this is my political practice, brother. I'm just going to submit it to you guys. It is beast-like. And remember, repentance is never about behavior. Repentance is relational. Selah. If we have those things going on and we're straying and swaying, I believe maybe we forgot our identity. Maybe we forgot that we're sons and daughters. Maybe we forgot our true citizenship. Boy, it's getting really, really quiet in this Baptist church. Kyle, no amen, brother. Help me now. I don't know why I went there, but I'm hoping y'all just still love me because this is the truth. And honestly, my heart is gripped by love. I mean, I am gripped by love right now. And so I'm not just trying to bludgeon you guys with a bunch of truth. But Lord, change our minds and change our practices. That they're kingdom practices. They're kingdom thinking. Isn't that fair to ask that? Isn't that fair?
Mm-hmm.
So practically, what is this kingdom? What I want to talk about is this is kingdom culture. And how do we begin to start little by little stepping into this stuff to start being part of the solution and not just propagating the problem? And I believe the kingdom of God is both spiritual and natural. Folks want to go ahead and pack it to spiritual. It's typically some futuristic thing. So to get away with going ahead and just being, living with mixture. And living with Christ being like a cheap suit, taking them on, putting them on and off anytime they want. We're not going to do that. Okay? We're not going to do that. I believe not only is it spiritual, it's also natural. And I'll say it to you this way. And Miles Monroe said it best, and God bless him. He said something that springs in my heart about the kingdom. And he says, it is the invisible scene. It's the invisible realm of kingdom. There's an invisible realm. Okay? And we know, we feel it. It's real. It is real. And that invisible realm, I call her, we're like pipelines. And the invisible realm comes into the invisible man, the spirit man. Or scene, okay? So it's the invisible scene in the invisible man to the visible man on the scene. And so he says it basically like this. In the invisible realm, how he gets his kingdom to be produced physically on this earth is through you. There's no other pipeline, no other conduit. So think of it this way, brothers and sisters. You go to water your garden, you have all of the water pressure, but your hose is crimped. Yeah. All the potential is there. Yeah. But you go to water the garden to bring some refreshing, and nothing. We're that hose, that pipeline from the kingdom. People need refreshing. They need to be watered. And the only solution is you, Dan. But what crimps our hose? All of the fear, all of the pride, all of the lust, all of the ungodly alliances and allegiances and marriages. Let's be honest. Say, Father, uncrimp my hose so your kingdom, the answer, can truly flow through a surrendered vessel, because people are dying and hurting and wounded, and you're the answer, Joe and Vivian.
That's good. That's good. Preach it.
This is how the spiritual and the natural are married. It's both. Don't minimize who you are and your value to bring thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy
yes.
will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. Everybody say, I'm that pipeline.
I'm that pipeline.
Now look to your neighbor and say, you're the pipeline.
You're the pipeline.
And now say, we're the pipeline.
Pipeline.
You got that?
Yeah.
I believe this firmly. So that needs to provoke in every one of us tremendous value for the body. Because, brother, if you're crimped up, it behooves me to do whatever I can do, Joe, to get you unstopped, brother, because I need some refreshing. And I need you in my life, Vivian. You understand that? So let's help each other. Not throw stones at each other.
Good work.
Thank you, Lord.
So how does this work practically? What's it look like? I'm going to go ahead and talk about this internal kingdom. And it starts with this, folks. If we have not had a personal encounter, transformation, true born again, receiving the love of the Father or the revelation of identity of sonship, we better get that dialed in quick, fast, and in a hurry. You get on your prayer bones before Father and get that handled, because nothing else really works. And we can't manufacture that. That's what's happened. Another thing comes to me. An old covenant illustration. Here's the presence, the Ark of the Covenant, in the northern portion of the nation of Israel. And the priests were still going through all of their routine. I'm talking about like 23, 25 years. All the routine, all the religious practices, without the presence. And that's what you see in 2 Samuel, like 6 and 7. When, why in the world did David rent himself of all his kingly robes and dance with all of his might before Yahweh? Why? He was celebrating the presence is back.
Yes.
It's not this religious routine and there's it's empty. It's in vain. That's all what modern day religion is, guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're doing the exact same practices. Is that not true, Kyle?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Without the presence, with the presence. And here's the deception we need to be very aware of. Religion and authentic relationship in its practices look very, very similar. Let's not be deceived. The difference is the engine of it.
Yeah.
One is wrought of Christ and presence and love and just knowing you're a son and knowing you're accepted and the beloved and you're so full and ravished of the Holy Ghost. It just... So we flow and function and operate in love. The other has the form, the principle, the duty, the code of conduct, no empowerment. I'm telling you, folks, I've been there. It's really, really old. Man cannot be disciplined forever. It will bury you. I'm telling some truth. With love. Amen. So we have to make sure to get that settled first and foremost, because we got to have transformation. And if you guys are still kind of gummed up, and some of the young people, if you're still gummed up, you have a heavenly Father. And you have an older brother who is your advocate. He is for you, not against you. And you handle your business before the Lord. Amen? We just ask. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Number two, from that place of being ravished by Father, knowing sonship, and just like and not having condemnation spewed on you, and just knowing I am loved of my King. Wow. Now we're able to love one another. But here's the deal. It's learning to live agape. And agape is a love without hooks in it. So, Sister Nancy, I'm going to go ahead and sacrifice for you. And I call that love in practice. We cannot divorce love from sacrifice, by the way. Anybody understand that? If you love somebody, guess what? You're going to be inconvenienced.
Okay.
Hello?
True.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. This is really so, I love you, sister. I'm going to help you out or whatever. But I want to get this in return.
Yeah.
Love the hook in it. If we don't have revelation of transformation and sonship and how much we're loved the Father, we're always going to have hooks in our love. Mm-hmm. And you see it bludgeoning the body of Christ in this world. And they look at it, the world looks at it like, like, man, that's it. That's like, it's like someone farted in an elevator, man. It's just nasty. Did I say that? They know, the world knows love with hooks in it.
They do. They do.
So I'm going to come right back to, let's just not play a con on God. Let's just be honest with all our hooks. I got hooks all up in me. I'm like a hooker. Oh, whoa.
It's on video, too.
Whoa. I'm a bride. I'm a son. No, but just like this, to be honest. I've been honest with the Lord. I'm like, Lord, teach me how to love my wife without hooks in it. Mm-hmm. To love Judy and Aaron without hooks. To love Joe and Viv. I mean, I just like remove the hooks out of me because I don't have power to remove those hooks.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
But that is the Eros kind of love. Mm-hmm. That's about grinding people like coffee to get what you want out of them.
Wow.
And we're no better than the world. We're just making one another human resources for our self-glory.
Yeah. Truth.
Woo.
That's good. Man.
Love.
Wow.
Love. Woo. So number two, I really want to learn how to love one another.
Come on.
And I'm asking Father to give me the revelation of His love. Because I want to love Nancy more. I want to love Andrew more. I want to love Tony and Chenoa more. You know, I want to love Gator more. I've met this brother. I mean, I want real stuff. God, you gotta help me. Man, you guys all right? Oh, man, I'm trying. Oh, I could probably stop right there. I mean, love one another.
That's good.
And I'll say in my flesh, guys, I really suck at love. I'm so messed up. But I'm gonna be honest.
You are not alone.
And I believe we're going to get better as we learn how to agree with Father with how much He loves us. It makes sense?
Amen. That's the key, brother.
Number three. This is some of the revelation the Lord gave me a few months ago, and He said this. He said, the greatest service we can do one for another is to remind and encourage one another to walk in the Spirit. We can never circumvent the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
We can never, ever, ever do this on our own. We have the Paraclete. We have the Great Helper. Amen? It's like a kingdom now. What does this look like? We better understand transformation. And from that engine, that nucleus, we can begin to love one another. And it's real. It's not churchy. Brother, I need you as a human resource on my worship band.
Yeah.
You're on the hook. So I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you attention.
Yeah.
How about this? Knock that nonsense off, guys.
Come on.
How about this? I want to see you so loosed and liberated, man, and I want to just whatever I can do to change an atmosphere or make a way for you so you can go ahead and express your love for God and the other people around you being blessed too. How about that?
Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
Let's just go there. Let's get the hooks out of our lives. And number three, we need the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Number four, in all this, we got to forgive one another.
Yes.
Let's just settle it for the record.
Yes, sir.
I love this proverb. Where the stalls are clean, there is no oxen.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. But with oxen, there is much strength. This is not clean room Christianity, folks. When you want strength, you're among brothers and sisters who are as messed up as you are, there's going to be some crap slung in the stalls.
Yeah, it's going to get messy. Yep.
Let's deal with it. Let's stop pretending, because there's strength on the other side in the middle of our mess, because we're together. I cannot pursue clean room Christianity. It's not real.
Oh, come on. Yes. Praise God. Good word.
Need some fertilizer here. Glory to God. You know what, guys? I'm feeling strong anointing of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody just get it. I warned you. I'm a little flamboyant. We've got to forgive one another. And again, I'm going to say this to you. What the Father's been teaching me as of late is so awesome. What an awesome revelation. Every single thing we do, let's settle it for the record, we do not come from a deficient place.
Amen.
Never again.
Amen.
There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Yes.
I don't care if you bump your head. No condemnation.
Amen.
That's why we must forgive one another. But we're not deficient. We are sufficient in Christ. Amen?
Amen, brother.
So we've got to forgive one another. Number five, let's not give up so easy on one another. That fair weather Christianity. I don't know. Got a little rough. Got a little hot in the kitchen. Got to get on out of here. Let's just not give up on each other, amen?
Amen, amen brother.
Let's have a little more endurance. I mean, isn't love long-suffering? And I don't want to give up on you guys, amen? Number six. We need to have understanding and revelation of our specific individual gifts and call that out of each other, not compete against it. Mm. But and what does that take? Doesn't that take some relationship? Does that take some time to know how we're wired? Well, it's worth it. It's worth it to know you guys. So I'm like, man, look at all those wonderful gems. Man, these jewels of heaven, you know? So let's understand and get revelation of our specific individual spiritual gifts and wiring. So we're not minimizing but maximizing how we're designed. Number seven. We need to also, in the middle of this, we need to discern relational alignments. What I mean by relational alignments, it's those that you know what, there's certain people you feel like your heart's joined to them. Keen on that. Because we're not here to connect with everybody. We just don't have the capacity for it. But let's be discerning in the nudgings that we understand the alignments that he's doing. That there's a knitting. You know, there's certain people, man, like with Tony. I mean, there is this straight up something so supernatural. And like, remember when we all met with Andrew and Nance? Oh my, it just, from day one, there was a knitting. Let's really discern that. Who is Father knitting us with? I'm talking about practical, you know, internal kingdom sort of substance. Okay? And let's also do this. Let's be exhorting one another constantly to have a lifestyle as worshipers. Number 10, let's exhort to know and walk in or exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Let's do this. Let's exhort and pull on each other for this stuff. Let's, number 11. Exhortation to know and walk not only in the fruit of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit. Let's not minimize the flow of Holy Spirit through His body. Amen?
Amen.
I'm talking kingdom, guys. Am I losing everybody?
No.
Trying to break it down now. Because these things need to be exercised. Or at least acknowledge and say, God, we're really jacked up here. Remove all the barriers and the blocks. We want this. Number 12. There's something that I really want. I'll say this. Let's develop a culture of honor. Let's develop a culture of safety in one another's hearts. Let's develop a culture of transparency. And don't wait for somebody else. He be the initiator. Because people are afraid. People don't want people to see their mess. But you might be the solution to dislodge them. They can actually, man, I could trust again. Because you initiated maybe some transparency. Okay? So that's some of the spiritual dynamics and more. We got a lot more we can go to. Now, that's the kingdom that is internal or some of the, you know, some of the invisible realms. And then we have some of the things that are natural, they're external. Okay, what does that look like? What's life discipleship? That's what we're doing around here, by the way. And the ones that are on campus here with us, it's very raw and very real. You know, we're in the dirt together. We're doing trenches together. You know, we're putting seed in the ground together. We're dealing with, you know, slinging, you know, crap out the stalls, literally, over the sheep and the chickens. I mean, so it's very practical as well. It's very natural, on the natural. So this is what life discipleship is. But let's pour our lives into somebody. Get a hold of somebody. Say, you know what? I may not have a slick curriculum, but I can give you my life. But make sure it's the assignment of God. Amen? Every one of us should be pouring into somebody. Just be honest. Be real. Because everybody has value to give to somebody. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you got something of value.
You got some back
to give to somebody else.
To give to someone else.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Here's something real practical as well. Again, we're talking about external things. How about let's just spend time with each other? Uh-oh. Well, brother, you're messing up my agenda. I already have my schedule set. Brother, you don't know my life. I'm busy, brother. And that's why all of your relationships are shallow.
Oh, damn. Yeah, come on now.
That's true.
Uh-oh. So I'll say, with authority, I want to spend time with you. And I will rearrange my schedule any way I can. And I'll make time for you. We've got to be aggressive, folks. This is practical. This is practical we could do. This is kingdom. Number three. How about let's enjoy each other and laugh often? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! How about let's celebrate each other?
Oh, amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
Just laugh often, guys. Anybody who's been around us, we're rolling around all the time. Are we rolling around? We're intense.
I still hurt right here.
But we're laughing often because you, a merry heart doeth like a medicine. Amen?
Amen, brother.
Number four. I kind of mentioned a little bit. Let's be willing to be transparent one with another. And that sparks all kinds of wonderful authenticity. Number five. Let's be available to get in the trenches with each other in the middle of their mess and exercise some healings and deliverance. I don't care if you're a novice. Well, I don't know. We all pray. We all renounce these things that are contrary to us. That lust got to go. I don't renounce. Man, that fear got to get. That rage trying to control me. Let's agree in the trenches. Amen?
Amen.
That's practical. The kingdom. It's kingdom. How about this one? Let's think about helping others more than ourselves. Wow, being others minded. And again, I'm not coming from a deficiency. And I'm not trying to keep deficiency. I'm just saying, you know, let's think on these things. But I don't know too many people have been breaking these things down, so I'm trying to break some things down practically. Let's be willing to help each other and be others. I think something about the scriptures about something like that, huh? About being others-minded. Might be some kingdom attributes right there, huh? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. How about this? When a brother or sister is in need, how about show up? It's never going to be easy. But this is kingdom. This is a culture. And all of this works by relationship, folks. If we don't have a relationship, we're not going to care about each other. I don't care. That's your world, dude. I'm up over here. Because Lord knows we can be self-absorbed, right? And pretty quick. Because life is happening. What about this? As we're building, you know, because we're dealing with people, anybody dealing with like money being funny?
No.
Money being funny, huh? Well, as we start developing all these wonderful things and trust and transparency, what about Lord? Give us witty inventions and some enterprise for kingdom. I believe you could do it. I believe this land's going to be used for some enterprise. My gosh, just get a little corner deal and hey, here's some eggs for donation, man. You know, organic food, whatever. Something. But coming together might have a little enterprise happening. What about this practically? What about instead of being so reliant on the systems of men like the power grid, how about start coming up with some innovative ideas for an alternative power source. Because here's the deal, folks. This entire system is incredibly volatile. I'll tell you to this, a prophet told me this before, and we'll take a break in a minute. He said, Jeff, everything that has the signature of man on it is destined for destruction to show what has a signature of Yahweh. And he said this, I think it's in the, the 12th chapter of Hebrews? Whatever can be shaken shall be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken shall remain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it talks about how we're part of an unshakable, immovable kingdom. And it also goes into how our God's a consuming fire. But just know, guys, if we put any stock, any confidence, any hope in the systems that have the signature of man on it, it is destined to crumble. The kingdom of God is immovable, unshakable, secure. What does that mean practically? Where is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the head? Where we see him, the head, properly in his place on the body, that's immovable. But where there's all these other gods, other lords, other influences, it is shaking sand. That's a little, just a little caution for us. And we are very snared by those systems. So may we as a kingdom people, again, no condemnation, but little by little, may we be less snared next year than we are this year.
Yeah, amen. I agree with that.
And just believe the Lord together to help us. Well, Lord, thank you so much for your grace. I'm 8% less snared at the end of the year than when I started. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And I believe he smiles and pours out.